Good morning. Take me just a moment to get things right. Thank you, Aubrey, for that song. Can you say, "Thank God I do"? This morning, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about growing up. A few Sundays ago, Pastor Wes was preaching on water in the church, and he kind of touched on growing up. How do we measure how we've grown up? The CD is out in the foyer. Please get the CD and listen to his message if you didn't hear it when he preached it a few Sundays ago. If you did hear it and don't remember, get it. So to bring back to memory those things that he shared with you, it's very powerful. I'm not taking away from his message. Maybe I'm just being, it's a confirmation to me what I had been preparing, what Pastor West said about growing up. Every living human being has a process of growth. You either grow or you don't die. Take a tree, for instance. It begins with a seed that sprouts into a seedling, and that as it's nourished by the rain, the sun, the soil, and so forth, it becomes a tree, continues to grow into a full-grown tree. We had one of those oak trees. Well, we do have an oak tree in our yard. That thing's probably 100 years old, and it's huge. It gives us shade. We had an incident that happened a few months ago where my neighbor didn't like all the leaves and stuff that went on their side, so they had a tree man to come in and kind of cut all those limbs that were hanging over her property. But it's still huge, it still gives shade, and it's still growing. One thing that my wife noticed is where they left those stumps, they're sprouting new limbs. The Lord does have a sense of humor. But it's the natural order of life is to grow up. Natural birth. And when we look at our text this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2, now Peter is talking, he's writing to those Christians that are scattered. They have been driven out of their homeland. They've gone to other lands. They're not being welcomed by the natives of the land because they're Jews and they are Gentiles, and so they don't mix real well. They're not welcomed by the Jews that have gone, that are still under the Judaic system, still offering sacrifices and living under the Old Testament system. And they're facing persecution. They're facing hardship. They're having to start all over in life. They had to leave in a hurry, left a lot of their goods. And it's really being hard for them. And Peter is writing to them to try to encourage them that who they are in God. And in our text, he says this. Let me turn to it. I didn't have it written down here. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all even speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow. That you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." We begin as a newborn baby, but we don't remain a baby. The body will grow as it's nourished and cared for. And the truth about living things is there's no growth. Like I said, that living thing dies. If there's no nourishment and care, that living thing dies. And Billy Graham, he said this. He said, birth is only the beginning for a newborn baby. That child isn't meant to be a baby forever, but to grow and become strong and eventually reach adulthood. Now, I don't know, when my grandkids were born, Hannah, and she became a toddler, one of her favorite movies to watch was Disney's Lion King. Has anybody watched The Lion King? Have you watched it 20 times with your granddaughter? But in The Lion King, this is called the circle of life. You're born, you grow, you have a purpose. And this is what it's all about. When you become a senior in life, you may look back over the years and you wonder, what in the world has happened to me? I thought maybe it was the mirror, but I go to another mirror and it looks the same. So I know things are happening to me. I'm not the young man that I used to be. My body is telling me that things are not working as well as they used to be. And my mind's not thinking as well as it used to be. I think my parents could not wait for me to grow up. I don't know about you. Maybe you've heard your parents say this to you. Why don't you grow up? Have you heard that? Why don't you grow up? Or maybe you've heard this one that I have heard from my parents and even from my wife. Act your age. Now, my question is, how do I know how to act my age? I've never been this old before. Or maybe this one. Maybe you've heard this one. Sandy said this to me the time she said that I would whine or pout when we had a little disagreement. She said, don't be a baby. And there's the one that I hear a lot today. Put on your big boy pants. Here's the truth. We all need to put on our big boy pants. We need to grow up. Billy Graham, again, I quote what he says, when we first come to Christ, we are spiritual newborns. But we aren't meant to remain that way. God's plan is for us to grow strong in our faith and become mature in our understanding of God's will. And this is what Peter is writing to them. It's time now for you to grow up. It's time for you to get into the Word. And grow as you feed on the Word, spiritually to become adults, mature in your faith. It's time to grow up in your faith. And I think when I begin to look in the Word of God, it is the Word of God that stimulates spiritual growth. Without the Word of God, we will have no growth. Without the Word of God, we have no faith. Someone said the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and makes a child of God. And this is what Peter is saying in our text. Since you in 1 Peter 1:22 through 25, he says this: since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. This was the word that Peter preached to them, that Paul preached to them, that others preached to them. It was the word that changed their lives. They were born again through the word of God, through the washing and cleansing of the word of God by the Spirit of God. The Word of God is a seed that is sown to begin the action of spiritual birth. When the seed is sown in the fertile soil of a receptive heart, it brings forth new life. This is what Peter describes as being born again. And anyone that has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in their life, they are born again. They're not only born of the flesh the first time, but now they are spiritual beings because they have been born of the Spirit. And now we need to grow as newborn babes in the Word of God. The thing is, there's a lot of people, I won't say a lot, there are people that are still drinking milk. No growth. No growth. Now that we're saved by grace, we need to crave that spiritual milk. But Jesus was telling us in a parable. He said a sower went out to sow his seed. Some fell on the roadway and was trampled by the traffic on the road. Some fell on rocky ground but could not take root. Some fell on ground with thorns and weeds, and the thorns and weeds choked it that it could not grow and produce fruit. Some fell on good ground and produced an abundance of fruit. And Jesus said that the seed is the Word of God. You see, this is what we've got to get in us. It's the seed of the Word of God. That was what was preached to us. That's what we heard or what we read, is that the seed of the Word found a place in our heart and we got saved. We become a newborn Christian. And that seed has to be placed. But Jesus said that it is the Word of God. And he said, those that by the wayside, they heard the word, but it went in one ear and out the other. And I think sometimes when you leave church this morning, some of you leave, you can't remember what the preacher even said because it went in one ear and out the other. What you need to do is you need to put a finger in your ear so that when it comes this ear, you don't have a way to escape. Those on the rocks received the word with joy, but it never took root in their hearts, so they could not stand when trial and temptation would come their way. I have met folks like that, that they received the word with joy. They were saved, but yet when trial and temptation come, they could not stand and they backslid or they left the faith. And those in the thorns received the word and took root, but the cares. Now, I want you to look what the writer says here, what Jesus is saying. The cares and the riches and the pleasures of life kept them from growing up. I think we need to examine ourselves. Are we so involved with the cares of life, of living? Are we so involved with getting rich and buying what we want and doing what we want and going where we want to go? Are we so involved with the pleasures of life that we're not producing the kind of life that God has called us to do, to be a light in a dark world, to be a one that sows a seed, one that's in the harvest, one that is winning souls to Jesus Christ? And we're not being productive in the kingdom of God. But then he said there's goes of the good ground who received the word in their heart. They kept that in their heart and they patiently bore fruit, the process of growth. Patiently, patiently growing. The point is this, the word has to be spoken. In other words, it's got to be sowed, and it has to be received by a receptive heart. And that's why I was praying about this Bible here, that not only the person that was received the Bible, but he's got to receive this word with a receptive heart, that it will change his life, that it will help him to grow and become a fruitful, mature Christian in the Lord of God. But we're also praying that the young lady that gave the Bible will also experience the same experience and become a Christian. And become a mature Christian in the Lord, that they can produce fruit in their life and develop the purpose that God had for them. But you know, he also said that we need to desire the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 in our text, he said, crave the Word of God, is what this interpretation says. And another interpretation says, crave the word, that's the NIV, but in the New King James it says desire the word of God. I ask you this morning, do you desire the word of God? Do you desire it? Because if you don't desire it, it's not going to become food to you because you're not going to go after it and feed your soul. But he says you desire it. Like newborn babies crave the spiritual milk so that you by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. We know the Lord is good because he saved us and redeemed us. Now it's time for us to grow up. We've been saved by God's grace. We need to crave that spiritual food that will help us grow as a Christian. You know, the pure spiritual milk is the Word of God, and as Christians, we cannot grow up without it. As babes in Christ, we begin with the milk of the Word. It begins the process of growing towards maturity. And one of the things about the Word that is that as we grow from the nourishment of the milk of the Word, our spiritual bodies begin to need more than milk to continue to grow in Christ. We need the solid food of the Word. Milk is good and necessary as babies, but milk will stunt our growth if we continue just with the milk of the Word. I didn't get an amen from that. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 3, He says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worthy. You know, that can be an indictment in the church today. Are we seeing spiritual growth in the body of Christ? But more importantly, are you seeing spiritual growth in your life? Are you still just clinging to two or three scriptures that make you feel good and make you feel full? And you're not digesting the whole Word of God. It's kind of like my grandson. You set him to the table and you give him the vegetables and you give him the starch and you give him the meat and you give him the bread. And he sits there and he eats the bread. He's not getting the nourishment that he needs from the vegetables and the starches and from the meat. And sometimes that's how we do the Word of God. We pick certain scriptures and certain passages, and we stand on those passages, but that's not rightly dividing the Word of God. That's not eating the whole meal. That's just eating something that makes you feel good, makes you feel full, but you're not producing fruit. You're not growing. You're not maturing. And that's what Paul is saying here. You are still worldly. He said you should be eating solid food. Why then are you still on the milk? Crave means to want it something greatly, to have a strong and inward desire for something, to have a yearning for something. Is it because we're satisfied with the milk? But we don't crave more from the Word of God? Peter said crave so we could grow up. Moses was not gentle with the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 30, but he was straightforward with them as to their response to the Word of God. And he made three vital points. He said, you have the Word. Church, the Word is more readily available today than it ever was. The Word. You can order Bibles off of the website, or you can go into some stores and buy Bibles. But now you can take your phone and you can load an app with a Bible and with a devotion, with a Bible study. In fact, I've got two Bibles online right now. And the thing about these apps that you can get, choose any interpretation that you want, but you have the Word readily available right there for you. So he said, you have the Word. He said, you don't have to go up to heaven to bring it down. You don't have to go across the sea to bring it over. He says, it's near you. We have the Word. So church, we have no excuse for not having the Word in our life and in our homes. And then he said this. He said, you can obey the Word. Moses told Israel that you have a choice either to obey or not obey. I'm telling you this morning, you have a choice either to obey or not obey. He would not have given them the challenge. God would not have given them the challenge to obey if it was not obtainable. And we say, well, I'm going to always sin. I'm just a sinner saved by faith, and I'm weak human and all these things. We can make all the excuses that we want to make. But God said that we can strive towards obeying the Word, towards perfection, becoming more like Jesus Christ every day when we get into the Word and we practice what the Word says. He says, you can't obey the Word. And here's the third thing he told them. He said, your destiny depends on what you do with the Word. The Word requires a response. Two choices, obedience or disobedience. Two results, the blessings of the Word or the judgment of the Word. Two verdicts, life or death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, we need to respond to the Word. And I want to share five responses to you, how to respond to the Word of God. First of all, learn to listen to the Word. Learn to listen to the Word. Romans 10:17 in the NIV says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of God. You know, experts say that we retain only about 10 to 20% of what we hear. And I want to defend your husbands today. You know, it's not that we're not listening, but because we cannot retain all that the wife is saying. I mean, Pastor West said a few weeks ago that studies have shown that women speak 2 to 3 times more words in a day than a man. Man, how can we retain 20,000 words? The wife says, "You're not listening to me." It's not that I'm not listening. I just can't remember what you said. And let me tell you, if you want to make mama happy, learn to listen to what's important. Learn to listen to what's important. And if you want to make God happy, learn to listen to His Word. Because every word of God is important to us, to our well-being. God is speaking to you and me through the preaching of the Word, through the teaching of the Word, classroom discussions, one-on-one conversations, in the corrections and reproof of the Word of God, and in the still small voice of the Spirit. Here's something that you need to do to learn to listen for the Lord. Expect God to be speaking to you. Wayne Hoppin, I love him to death, and sometimes after I've preached or Wes the priest, he'll come out there and he'll put his arm on their shoulders and he'd say, "They sure needed that." Wayne, God's speaking to you. God's speaking to all of us. We've got to expect to hear from God. Brother Chester taught a couple of Wednesday nights ago about expectation. We need to come to church with an attitude of expectation, expecting to hear a word from God, expecting a move of the Holy Spirit, expecting the presence of God in our worship, expecting beyond the status quo, expecting spiritual growth through the sanctification of the Word and the Spirit. We need to come with expectation that God is speaking directly to me. We need to avoid agitated emotions, you know, anger. The Bible says, "Be angry and sin not. Do not hold on to anger. Do not give place to the devil." Worry is an agitated emotion. The Bible says, "Don't worry, for your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. Seek the Lord and His righteousness, and what you need will be provided. Cast all your care on Him." Fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. We walk by faith and not by sight. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out our fear. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Anxiety can cause us not to hear the Word of God. Be anxious for nothing, Paul said. Make your request to God. The peace of God will guard your heart and minds through Jesus. And stress. You know, we all are stressed. There's good stress and bad stress. I haven't found out how to separate them. Because stress is stress to me. I'm stressed today. But it's hard for me to stand before a crowd and to talk. When I was a boy, I used to run. When neighbors would come, people would come over, I'd run to my room and hide under my bed, or I'd run outside. I didn't want to be around people. I was an introvert. I'm still an introvert. I would get stressed. But Jesus said, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart." Don't stress. Don't stress. All these are static that prevent you from hearing His voice. And thirdly, use tools to retain what you hear. Use the Bible. As Pastor West says sometimes, underline this word or circle this word. Use some pen and a notepad that you can take notes and put them on a notepad. Do like Brother Ronnie does sometimes. He takes his phone and he records the message. He's got it right there on his phone. Or you can go out here and get some of the CDs. It's got the word recorded there for you. Use a highlighter to highlight certain things that speak to you in the Word. Use all the tools that you can use to help you to retain what you hear. And then the last thing is to ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Word to you, that you may know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Secondly, read through the Word of God. Everything we need to know about the triune God, about salvation and spiritual living, is in this Word. Billy Graham said, "While we read the Word, its message saturates our hearts, whether we are conscious of what is happening or not. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 119:11, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Someone wrote, "Most of us wouldn't think of missing a meal, yet we miss our spiritual meals when we neglect God's word and we end up spiritually weak. Either sin will keep you from the word or the word will keep you from sin. 5 minutes," he said, "along with God, and the word can renew and strengthen your soul." Every Christian should make a lifelong commitment to daily Bible reading. Read it entirely. I've got at home, I've got a daily Bible reading Bible that reads through the whole Bible in 1 year. It's a 1 year. And every day you get scripture from the Old Testament. You get scripture from the New Testament. You get a psalm. You get Proverbs. And it encourages me. It blesses me. When I get up in the morning and I go out onto my sunroom and I pull that word out, and I begin to read it, it encourages me, it blesses me, it lifts me up. It lets me know that there's a God that loves me and cares for me. It lets me know that there's a way that I should walk, a path that I should take. And we need to read the Word. We read it daily. Read it to find help for your needs. Read it as a personal visit with God. Read it when you feel like it and read it when you don't. Read it every day and don't make any exceptions. I know we all have busy lives, but time in His Word is essential to our spiritual growth. And if you take an inventory and you're not growing, get in the Word. Begin to feed on the Word. Thirdly, meditate on the Word of God. Joshua 1 and 8, Jesus was telling Joshua before they went to secure the promised land. He said, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." In Psalms 1 and 2, David wrote this. He said, "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." In both of these verses, the Hebrew word hagah literally means to ponder by talking to oneself. And meditation is that deep thinking of the Word. It's focusing one's thoughts on the Word to reflect and to ponder on the matter of the Word that's before you. In this instance, it's the Word of God, the whole Word, rightly divided. True character is found in the thought life. And the psalmist states that in Psalms 139 that God knows everything about us. He knows our thoughts. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. There's nothing about us that is hidden from the Lord. And I want to tell you, if we have negative thoughts destroy faith and harmony in our Christian walk, causing defeat and failure. I appreciate Brother Chester Wednesday night when someone wanted to make a comment. He said, "If you got a positive comment, you're welcome to make it." We don't need negative comments. We don't need negative statements. We need to have positive. We need to let the Lord know that we love Him and that we praise Him and we honor Him, that He is the Lord of our life, that we are who we are because He is God and He loves us. The Bible says we can take control of our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." You know, we're in spiritual warfare. We're in spiritual warfare. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 that it's not flesh and blood that we war with, but it's spiritual wickedness in high places. It's spiritual war that we're fighting. And he says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Paul wrote in Philippians 4, he said, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Did you notice here that there was nothing negative in that verse that we're to think on? We're to think on the positive. Meditate here means to revolve around in the mind, to churn it around in your mind and think on it until you get familiar with it. When I was growing up in church, we would get a prize for memorizing scripture. I think with cell phones and laptops and computers so available that we depend on the Word on our electronic devices more than memorizing Scripture. But here's the problem, is that we don't get the full effect of memorizing the Word as there are benefits to memorizing the Scripture. First of all, if we have the Word in our heart, it's resistance to temptation. Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, the Spirit leads him into the wilderness, 40-day fast, 40 days and 40 nights. He's eating nothing. He's weak. And that's when Satan come against him and began to tempt him. And he tempted him with three temptations. Three times he said, command these stones to be bread. Then the second time he said, jump from the pinnacle of the temple. The angels will save you. The third time he says, bow down and worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. But I want you to notice, three times Jesus countered Satan's temptations. He said, it is written, live by every word from God's mouth. It is written, do not tempt God. It is written, worship and serve the God only. And the Bible says that then Satan left Jesus alone and the angels came and ministered to him. So we can use the Word as resistance to temptation. We can use the Word that we memorize, the victory over worry. Psalms 23, we all probably could quote it. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In those few verses, we saw where God is providing for us. God is protecting us. God is taking care of our spiritual needs. He leads us in the righteous path that we should follow for his name's sake. He covers the whole man, body, soul, and spirit, if the Lord is your shepherd. We can have confidence in witnessing. Philip, Acts chapter 8, he had a great revival in Samaria. And then the Lord told him to go down this road into the desert. And as he's walking down this road, here comes a chariot. And in this chariot is an Ethiopian eunuch. He'd just been to Jerusalem for the Passover. And now he's headed home to Ethiopia. And Philip notices that he's reading something. And he runs up beside him and says, do you understand what you're reading? Because he's reading out of Isaiah chapter 53. And the eunuch says, how can I know unless somebody teach me? So that's the opportunity for Philip to get up in the chariot. And from that scripture, in Isaiah 53, he preached Jesus Christ, and the eunuch was saved and was baptized and went on his way. Philip had confidence because he knew the Word. The Word was in his mind and in his heart. We need it for direction, for decisions. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we need it for nurture, for spiritual growth. As it said here, Peter said, desire the Word that you may grow. And the fourth thing we need to do is to study the Word. I know that you don't like to hear that word study when, because that takes effort. Study seeks to discover the actual intent of a scripture rather than attempting to impose a meaning on it. It's easy to take a scripture and impose meaning on it, and it is. A Christian is a disciple of Christ, and a disciple is a student of the Word. And in 2 Timothy, Paul said this, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to be a diligent worker. That means that if we're diligent, we are to be persistent in our pursuit of truth. And we are to give personal attention to finding the understanding of truth. It means that we work to gain the treasures of the Word of God. There have been people who have searched the deep blue seas for treasure that sunk to the bottom of the ocean when a ship was lost at sea or sunk during a battle. They have become rich when they found sunken treasures. Just a few weeks ago, that happened off, the coast of Florida, that they found a ship and the people became rich. But I want to tell you, you cannot put a value on the riches of God's Word. It is a treasure. And a worker desires to be approved of God. And a worker correctly handles the Word of God. Peter admonishes us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, let me share the benefits of being informed. Knowledge gives substance to faith. The Word is the substance. It gives substance to our faith. The Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Knowledge stabilizes us in times of testing. When we look in the Word and we see these things happening all around us, we can be stabilized in the Word, knowing that God is with us and that He loves us and He cares for us. Knowledge enables us to handle the Bible correctly. We study, we search for the truth, and we rightly divide it. Knowledge equips us to detect and confront error. I want to tell you, there is so much false teaching and error in the world today when it comes to salvation and to living for Jesus Christ. We need to get in the Word to find what the truth says. Jesus condemned the Pharisees because they did not know the Word. They were condemning Him, but if they had read the Word, if they had been students of the Word, they would have known that this was Jesus Christ and that it was Him. It was through the Spirit of God that He healed, instead of it being Satan, Beelzebub, caused Him to heal. And knowledge makes us confident in our daily walk. A good foundation of spiritual truth filters out our fears and superstitions. We need the Word of God. But this is, to me, one of the most important that I want to share with you in closing. We can listen to the Word. We can hear what God is saying. We can read the Word ourselves. And I encourage you, sometimes when you're reading the Word, read it out loud. We can meditate on the Word till we know the deep truths that are in the Word. We can study the Word of God, Brother Larry. But if we do not apply the Word to our life, it does no good. It does no good. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" James, the brother of Jesus, said in James 1, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." You see, faith is not complete until it produces obedience to the Word of God. We have to apply it. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. What Peter was telling them in verse 1, he says, you got to lay aside some things. You got to lay aside some things. As the Word produces truth, you have to lay aside some things. He said you had to lay aside the sins of malice and deceit and hypocrisy and evil and evil speaking. Paul said in Ephesians 4 that Pastor West talked about a few weeks ago, he said we got to put away those things that give place to the devil and put away those things that grieve the Holy Spirit. In Colossians, Paul writes that we put to death those sins of the body, fornication, passion, evil desire, covetousness, and to put off the sins of emotion and the sins of the mouth, anger, wrath, malice, filthy language, lying, and so on. In the writer of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 1 says that we lay aside every weight and sin that ensnares us and run with endurance the race that is set before us. We cannot grow unless we begin to lay aside and put off and put to death those things in our life that are contrary to God's Word. And how can we know it unless we get in it and study it? Recognize your behavior through the Word. The Bible is our measuring stick. Do we measure up? If we've got bad behavior in our life, what do? We repent of our bad behavior. If you repent of your sins, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What are we to do after that? You're supposed to reject all bad behavior. Lay it aside. Put it off. Put it away. Put it to death. Billy Graham asked this question one time. Which wing of the airplane is more important, the right wing or the left wing? Can we got a pilot out here that can tell me which one is more important? Obviously, they both are equally necessary and both are equally important. Then he asked this question, which is more important? What we believe about God, what we've listened to, what we've read, what we've meditated on, what we've studied, do what we believe about God, or what kind of life we live? And this was his answer. Both are equally necessary and both are equally important. In fact, the Bible says that if we claim to believe in Christ, but it doesn't make a difference in the way we live, then our faith really isn't genuine. This doesn't mean we must be perfect, but it does warn us about the dangers of shallow belief in Christ. We need to grow deeper and grow up. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would. And thank you for your attention this morning. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. As believers, we need to love the Word of God. We need to be reminded that it is the written voice of God speaking to us. It is a light under our path and a lamp under our feet. It is a love letter written to us, for us, and about us. It is a guide into our future, a help in our present, and a reminder of our past. It is the living Word in written form. It is the inspired, God-breathed Word of God given for our good and our perfection. It is the cloud in our day, and it's the fire in our night. It is our bread for our souls and a lifter of our spirits in times of trouble. It is our warning of danger, and it is our comforter in trying times. It is our deliverer from temptation, and it is our victory against evil. We will read it. We will study it. We will meditate on it. And we will apply it to our life. Can you say amen? Amen. Father, we thank you today, God, for the Word. And Lord, I know, God, that it's in the Word that we find life. Lord, we just praise you, God, for your Word. Lord, we praise you that the Creator of heaven and earth, God, that you would take time, Lord, to move upon men to write what thus saith the Lord for our benefit. And Father, we just made this declaration. Father, how important the Word is to us. God, help us to focus our mind upon the Word. Help us to love it. Love it better than Nutty Buddy ice cream. Or whatever, God, Lord, that brings us pleasure. God, let this be that brings us the most pleasure, the most peace, and the most hope, and the most help. Father, help us, God, not to just remain on the milk, but God, let us begin to search out the meat, God, that we can grow, Lord, as that fourth seed became fruitful, patiently growing and producing fruit. In one place it said 30, 60, and 100 times more. But God, we need the Word. And Lord, as we've all said amen to what I read, God, let it find place in our heart that we will become students of the Word, that we will read the Word, that we will cherish the Word, that we will prioritize the Word above all else. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. This afternoon, this evening, we have communion service.